the other night, you're going to have to look at the film to be able to determine kind of what went wrong. So now that you've seen it, what was kind of the number one thing that you want to fix?
Oh, the things that we'll try to fix this week. Can't tell you this. To the things we talked about, but we saw some things that we need to concentrate on to get better at, and those are the things that we'll work hard and practice as much as we can, and be very, very aware of that late in games, to not allow these things that have happened in the last couple of weeks to become a trend.
Is there any part of what has happened to you in the second half that has simply been the result of fatigue or a deficit where you might be trying to overextend yourselves to force mistakes? Is it a matter of physical fatigue? Is it psychological? Because in the first half, there's been no difference
right.
in the way you played the last two games from the way you played the first six.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes trying to do a little too much can always be a problem, getting out of your gap and trying to do a little too much. Fatigue should never be an issue, regardless, you know, because we're both teams are on the football field, same length of time, amount of time if you're on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, and so that should never be an excuse, and we'll never use that as an excuse. So our job remains the same. We have to get off the field when those opportunities present themselves, be disciplined to be in our to do our responsibilities early in games, and be more detailed late in game to make sure that those things, like I said earlier, does not become a habit of allowing teams to do what has happened in the last couple of weeks.
One of the common denominators the last 2 weeks was the no huddle. Is that something that, I know without getting away, but it's there.
Yeah.
You know, is that an adjustment that you guys feel you have to make?
That's not an adjustment. Just the fact of if that's something that teams are going to do, we just have to prepare for it. And stop it. That's kind of point blank, tell you the truth. It's not nothing you can adjust to. If it's going to happen, we have to be detailed in our work. We have to get the calls in, get the calls echoed across the board, and line up and play football and get off the field. The thing that you do as a team, anytime anybody presents the same thing over and over again, is you have to stop those things. And until we do it, I'm pretty sure teams are going to do it.
From a scheme point of view, it looks like the reason they're doing that is to keep your nickel on the field, and then they run against a nickel defense, and they've done that effectively. How do you counter that? How do you deal with that?
Every individual has to do their job, regardless. The personnel on the field, we still are have the talent to be sound in our jobs, to get off the field. We've done it before. Why all of a sudden it's a problem now? We're not going to make excuses. We have to make sure that we detail our work, period. And that'll be the thing that you're going to hear echo from me this whole time we talk. We have to detail our work. Whomever's on the field, if your responsibility is to do a specific thing, do that specific thing and count on your guy inside of you to be in his position. Those things happen, then we can do what we do defensively. That's get off the football field.
Brian, Ty lost sign so late, we haven't really talked to you about that. What do you think he brings to the mix, and how impressed were you the fact he jumped in there, like, off the plane and hit 32 plays?
Well, obviously that's a tough position to be in. And, you know, give him props big time to being able to come in and do what he did, as many snaps as he did in that game. And, you know, we tried to do our best the couple of days we were in there with him to communicate with him and to make sure in the game we're, you know, over-communicate, if you will, just make sure that he knows where he is. But it's a tough position to be in because even though you're being told and you kind of understand where to be because of years of playing, is different from stepping in there and now I know where I'm supposed to be, so I can sit on some stuff and jump some stuff and make some plays. And the reason why I say that is because that's what he does. You know, when he knows where he's supposed to be, then he can jump some things and pick some balls off and take some balls to the house. And so that's really what he brings to the table, that playmaking potential in that slot position, to be able to get the ball in his hands and take it to the house.
What does it say about the team to bring in a guy like that at this point in the season? And also, you know, you got Champ, yourself, you got about 20 Pro Bowls between you. It must be pretty nice to sit there and have those.
I mean, communication-wise, I've said this from the jump, the communication that we have most of the time, now we do make our mistakes, obviously, but for the most part, the communication and anticipation of things to come is a huge benefit for us. And then to have as many guys in the secondary that have been through the war, so to speak, I use that term very loosely, but to been in those battles, there's no panic. There's no panic. You know, even though they moved the ball even in the past week and got in red zone, we still had opportunities to get off the field. We just didn't do it. So there is no panic where you have the guys that have been in those situations so many times.
As a leader, you said that it was just bred into you to dislike Dallas. Is it the same with the Redskins from your so many years?
Absolutely. I just know what to expect when I play these teams. I've played them so long. I mean, I know this is going to be every time that I play the Redskins, it's been a physical battle. I come out the game a lot sore, if that's a word, than I usually am because of those big bodies that they have, and then they pound, you know, Portis at you, Betts at you, take shots up top with the quick receivers they have. And so this has just been something that's bred in me to anticipate certain things when I play the Redskins.
As a leader in the locker room after two losses, is there anything different or special that you say or do this week?
It's about, you know, one of the things that I kind of live by is my biggest sermon can be the way that I approach things, and not so much about what I say, it's about what I do. And if I'm walking around panicking, pouting, then that's what I'm going to preach to others. But if I'm working, if I'm diligent in my study in the classroom, if you will, and if I'm busting my hump in practice, then that's the sermon I'm also going to preach. So it's not too much that needs to be said. The coach, we said what we needed to say. Josh has said what he needed to say, Mike, and down the line. So we know what we need to do. It's just about doing it now.
Brian, what did Clinton Portis bring to that franchise? When Denver traded him there, you know, you were in the division or something like that. What has Clinton Portis done for that team?
Oh, man, he's been a huge, huge weapon, to say the least, for that team. Over the years, you know that you have to be prepared to stop this cat for four quarters as far as stepping in there, sticking your nose in there, and bringing something with you when you do, because he does. Even in pass protection, you know, he's one of the, if not the best chip blocker there is, you know, on the ends. He's trying to do damage. If you blitz, you know, you better have your chin scrap buckled up, your chin, you know, the mouthpiece in, because he's going to try to take your head off. And so that's the type of mentality he's brought to that offense, that dog, if you will.
Do you remember when that trade went down? Because that was a pretty blockbuster trade in the league, and what you thought of it, especially since it involved one of your
major runs. No disrespect either way, but I didn't care. I mean, it was, you know, another guy that we had to prepare for in our division that is going to be tough to stop. So it didn't matter. Take the truth.
You helped bring along a couple of rookies in your backfield, McBath and Smith. What is the toughest thing about a young first year guy to adjust to coming into this league?
I know for me it was the speed in which things happen. You have to be able to anticipate motions and shifts and be able to put yourself in the next position and still be able to play fast. And that's a tough, tough thing to do. The length of the season, your body's going to tell you that the bowl game is over with and it's time to chill out. And then we're still playing football in the pros. So your body's kind of telling you mentally to shut it down, and you have to push through that wall. You know, and then the expectations that are put on guys that are drafted high to be able to produce right away a lot of times, especially on special teams. And then you can't let that fatigue allow you to not make the plays that you need to make for your teammates. So it's a lot of pressure in that respect. So it is a lot of pressure on young guys. But, you know, when you have guys that are that have been through it and then are open to be able to talk to them, which, you know, we all are, to help them out as much as we can, it helps them out.
How are they coming along, would you say, Smith?
Oh, yeah. They're coming, yeah. They understand their roles, and, you know, if anything happens, they're able to step in right away. You saw what McBath steps in right away and against the Chargers and play some pretty daggum good ball, I thought. And so I think they're doing an excellent job.
Brian, who gave you the Weapon X nickname? Who gave you that Weapon X nickname?
I have no idea.
I mean,
it was just my love for the character Wolverine and what he's called. He's Weapon X. And, you know, when that kind of came out that I liked him so much that, you know, people kind of put two and two together, and that's what I became.
How many of those little figurines, the ones that you bought, and those, how many were given to you by other people?
Wow. I probably have purchased about maybe four. All the rest of them have been gifts from either my family, my kids, whether, or fans.
Brian, what's it like playing in Washington? You went there once a year as an Eagle. What's the atmosphere like? What are the fans like?
I mean, It's you after you play for so long, I mean, they're all hostile environments. You're going to have a couple of it's a couple of fans that I recognize from the behind our bench that have been pretty fun over the years to listen to as they try to get after you. He's pretty good at it too. I don't know his name, but he's pretty good sitting behind the bench. So it can be a very intimidating place if you allow it to. Just like every opposing team that has passionate fans, and so this is no different.
Brian, can you talk about your impressions of Ronaldo Hill now that you've played with him for half the season? Is there anything about him that surprised you?
I mean, I didn't know a lot about him, obviously, being from NFC to AFC. But the thing that has jumped off for me, man, he is the quarterback of this defense. You know, when Ronaldo, he doesn't have too many MEs. Let's just say it like that. If he sees something that he says something that we all believe that it is what is, you know, what he's saying as far as his checks are concerned. He's a very, very smart guy. Every day I'm coming in and say, hey, what did you see this? You know, watch film, what did you see? You know, let me know some secrets. Stop keeping secrets from me. But it's, you know, in a playing fashion. But he's a very, very smart guy. And so that helps us in so many ways. And then he's a, you know, potential to get the ball in his hands. He's always baiting, trying to bait and get his hands on the ball.
Does that make your job easier?
Absolutely.
He'll handle the checks. And
absolutely. I mean, we communicate. Don't get me wrong. If I see something, I'll let him know. But anytime you have someone, your counterpart beside you, that smart, that intelligent to be able to see things and to help in that respect, that definitely allows me to just line up and just do what I do.
He said that you guys took your visit here to Denver together, went to a Nuggets game. How much did you talk to him, and were you impressed with him at that point even?
It's only so much you can be impressed by a guy by talking to him one day. I was just excited at the fact of us coming in together and learning a scheme together and the potential going forward. Because I knew that he'd play some pretty good ball out, you know, that's past year in Miami. So I was excited about that.